So like another example is just the simple questioning of thoughts, which there are so many traditions that help us do that. First step, noticing they're even there, and then not just believing them, right? And just following them. And so the simple question of, is this helpful if you're in a negative thought spiral?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. I'm so excited. I have a longtime friend. Actually, she was one of, like, an early guest, because at the time, the show was still called Life Interrupted Radio. It was the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio, and we transitioned just to the Autoimmune Hour several years ago. So we're reaching clear back into 2016 when I last had Elaine Laird on the show. And she now has a marvelous new book. Well, I should say it's been out a while, but I'll say her latest book. How's that? And I have just been devouring it. If you're on video, I'm going to show you the beautiful cover. It's called Healing Mindset, A Guide to Mind-Body Connection for People with Autoimmune Disease. And if you're like, there again, if you're on video, you can see all these little pink flags here. Lots of things caught my attention. So we have lots to talk about. Let me give you a quick bio for her and then we'll jump right in. Her name, as I said, was Elaine Laird, and she's a writer, podcast host, and autoimmune warrior living a vital life with rheumatoid arthritis. She reaches millions of people through her popular website and podcast called Phoenix Helix, where she shares information and inspiration for autoimmune health. And she recently published, as I'm talking about, this book called Healing Mindset. So welcome, Elaine. Thanks for being back on the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And as well as I loved your first book, this one is awesome too. It's very different. I know the original work you did was around nutrition. Mm-hmm. And this one is very comprehensive. As I was reading a lot of the chapters, yes, absolutely. You know, the parts of my healing journey too. I'm like, yep, that was important to my healing journey as well. So I want to bring up one of my favorite chapters was chapter 31. I'm read the title for everyone is How Writing This Book Helped Me. Mm-hmm. I found that so inspiring because I find doing the show has really helped me. It keeps my joy up and being a part of a community and all of that. So share with us a little bit about your journey and then how writing this book helped you.
Yeah, I agree. I feel the same way. Like I'm not some type of guru who knows everything and is out there to like teach people who I think of as inferior to me. That's the opposite of my philosophy. You know, I'm a woman with autoimmune disease, like you, like so many people listening. And I think we help each other. We lift each other up. And so similar to you, being part of a community is really great. And I feel like these are skills that we practice over a lifetime. I don't think it's something you check off like a grocery list. So I've meditated for over 10 years now, and it's not like I'm a perfect meditator, right? And it's not like meditation is the only technique out there, which is one of the reasons I wanted to write the book. But there's some quote I had heard that if you want to really get a deeper knowledge of something to teach, and I think what you do with this podcast is a form of teaching, and what I do through writing is a form of teaching. And so definitely there were things I knew when I started writing the book, which is why I wanted to write it. I wanted to share things that had helped me, but I learned so much through writing the book and even techniques that I thought like weren't for me.
Yeah, I have those.
Yeah. And then through writing the book, I became kind of more open to those techniques and found ways that they were actually indeed for me. So that was really nice. And then the book, I started the book in 2019 and finished it in 2021. So that was a very, as we all know, intense time in the world. And it was also an intense time in my life personally. So take the pandemic out of it. Both of my parents died in 2019 and 2020. So that was a big thing. I was the executor of the estate during the pandemic when I couldn't travel to where they lived to take care of stuff.
Wow.
So that was really intense. There was a lot of stress. There was some dysfunctional family dynamics that a lot of us have in our lives. And so I would say I was writing this book during one of the hardest periods I've ever went through. But instead of the book being an added stress, it helped me through that time, because every time I sat down to write, it was reminding me of all of these ways to manage stress that I was experiencing.
So sorry to hear. Deepest sympathies on the loss of your parents. That is just one of those life stressors. Wow. And congratulations on the book and being able to pull it off even in under such difficult circumstances. One of the things I love about the book, it's very similar to your show. It's readable. It's not, you know, it's not stuff I can't understand, where somebody's talking from, you are an expert, but you're not talking from that place of expert where I'm going, what? And that's what I love. And I'm just, so people in the community know, all these little nuggets in each chapter is wonderful, because they're little sidebars about troubleshooting and further resources and beginner tips and all sorts of things like that. So it's a marvelous read. And this is a compliment. My niece always tells me, you know, Aunt Sharon, about some of my writings, you know, Aunt Sharon, it's a great bathroom book. And that is a high compliment, because what that means is she can pick it up anywhere, read any chapter and walk away with something good in it.
Oh, I think that's awesome. I love how she puts that.
I know, I was a little offended first, but then when she told me that, I was like, oh, that's exactly what I was going for. Not that you would have to slog through my book, and your book is definitely not that. I have a couple of notes here for myself on what they're all favorite chapters, but a couple of chapters stood out for me. If I was to ask you about the book, was there a particular section that really got you jazzed, or something else about it? Like, wow, I didn't know that, or something like that?
It's so hard to pick, isn't it? When you write a book and you have like this compendium of techniques and you like kind of the whole broad spectrum of them. But one thing I can share, which was interesting for me, is one of the techniques that never resonated with me was affirmations. Like before writing this book, I saw them as sugarcoating reality, and I didn't resonate with that, even though I had friends who found them helpful and I respected that, but just wasn't a technique that I thought was for me. And then when I delve into the research, I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And it's true, affirmations can backfire. If people's inner critic gets louder in response to an affirmation, that can make them feel less empowered instead of more empowered. So there is a spectrum in terms of personality and all of that. But when they work, they can like really work. They can really change not just emotional mindset, but physical symptoms as well. And that was really intriguing. And then I also learned about the technique called affirmations for the first time when I was researching the book. And had you already been familiar with those?
I had not. And I was so intrigued. Share where you found them.
You know, it was someone, it was actually a woman online who was sharing about how she got affirmations to work for her. And she talked about affirmations. And so for our listeners, it's very simple. So say there's an affirmation like, I am worthy. And your brain says, yeah, right, you're worthy. Let me tell you all the ways you're not worthy. And then you get into this weird, you know, unhelpful, right, inner conversation. But if you ask it in the form of a question, it shifts it. So it's like, well, what if I am worthy? And then your brain ideally and often will respond with showing you all the ways that you are. So it just shifting it to a what if, it like opens you up to the possibilities. And you can do that for so many things. So what if I am strong and resilient? What if I can make healthy choices? What if my immune system is coming back into balance? What if this flare will pass quickly? And it's a very, like, even when I say the difference, there's no resistance to it. You know what I mean? I don't know if you can resonate with that at all. So actually, affirmations became a favorite practice after writing the book. And then after doing affirmations for a while, I have less resistance to affirmations. So I think of them as affirmations on training wheels, almost.
I like that. You know, what I thought about the affirmations reminded me of Sarah Payton. We've had her on the show several times. She works a lot with the neurobiology of healing. And she's not a neurobiologist scientist, but she's someone who is just so attuned and throws herself into all the research. And I like to say she brings all this research from all the doctoral and the deep research papers and brings it out to usefulness for us who are like, huh? So she has a wonderful phrase. I liked it, and I wanted to play with that idea here, so I'm glad you brought it up. She uses the phrase, I wonder.
Oh, that's nice, too.
It, too, is an equally soft introduction. Like, I wonder how it would be to be strong and resilient. And I wonder. And I've always loved that, too, because it's a nice, soft, there's nothing commanding about it. It's allowing you to ease into these changes without feeling like a proclamation or something. When I read some affirmations, I just feel, well, that's quite big and lofty.
Yeah. And there is, and again, that's why they didn't resonate with me in the past. There's a little argument that like pops up in the head. But yeah, with an I wonder or a what if, it's fun to think about. It becomes fun to think about. And that's one thing that I think has been really enjoyable for me as I wrote the book, is there are times when our minds can be obstacles to happiness, right? There might be ruminations or obsessive thought patterns or negative thought patterns that can just keep us stuck. It's really cool how all of these techniques provide ways to redirect the mind in a helpful direction. And I have so much respect for how helpful the mind can be when guided to be. So like another example is just the simple questioning of thoughts, which there are so many traditions that help us do that. First step, noticing they're even there, and then not just believing them, right? And just following them. And so the simple question of, is this helpful if you're in a negative thought spiral? And then ask your mind a helpful question instead. That combination is something I use all the time now that's so powerful. So say I'm in an autoimmune flare, and I am spinning out, right? So my mind might be saying, this flare is never going to end. A lot of damage is happening to your body. What did you do to bring it on? Who are you? You've been at this for 10 years. You know, you're still messing up. You know, can say a lot of maybe negative things. And if I can stop that, say, is that helpful? The answer is no. And if I ask my mind a helpful question instead, I can say, can you show me almost a film of all the autoimmune flares that have passed that I've experienced? And they all have. There's no autoimmune flare that lasted forever. Can you remind me of what helps me when I'm hurting? What is comforting to me and what supports my healing? What types of things tend to make my flares last longer? And what things have I learned help my flares pass more quickly? And my brain's like on it. Like when I ask those questions, it's like, I can point you out all of those things. And then it just makes me feel really fond of my brain. And so it's really interesting that it can go from feeling acrimonious to collaborative just with a simple shift in questioning.
I love to think of it as redirecting the toddler inside.
Yes.
That's how I think about it. Because for me, I find it helpful to remind myself, and I journal, and yet oftentimes I either don't want to or have the time to go back and reflect. I do know that when I start feeling well, I have been known to on occasion cheat and say, oh, well, just this one time I'm feeling so well, I'm going to put in air quotes cheat and do XYZ, whatever it is. And then, of course, usually there's some little minor indigestion, headache, something comes on, inflammation or something comes on. I'm like, doggone it. Or I'm doing so well that I just think, okay, not today, that I've got other things. I'm busy over here until all of a sudden I have forgotten what got me there. Like, what was the things that I was doing that got me there? And I could see how this could be very helpful without me having to go back to my journal and reread hundreds of pages, setting the inner librarian on the task.
Yeah, I love journaling too. I think that's so human. No one's perfect, you know, none of us are perfect. So I think the chapter on perfectionism is one that I can never hear enough education around letting perfectionism go, because I am a recovering perfectionist, and my instinct is to hold myself to a really high standard. But so I've had rheumatoid arthritis for 11 years now, and my approach to my health is really different than it was 11 years ago. It's certainly more comprehensive and more holistic, but I would say it's also more resilient in that I know that if I make one of those choices you just talked about, maybe something that's not quite as healthy, or drop some self-care practices briefly because I'm just tired, that I have a resilience now that I know that any inflammation that comes up, I can tone back down again. I have a lot of experience with resolving inflammation that arises, and I have more compassion with, you know, doing healthy practices. I would say for me, seriously, it is like 99% of the time. I'm pretty high in terms of my performance as well, but I no longer judge myself for that 1%, you know, when I have those days and I'm just like, yeah, I'm gonna step off path here.
Yes, I too. I've been on this path since 2014. And the longer you go, the easier it is to say, yeah, no, been there, done that. Don't need to step off the path again. You know? But there are occasions, or there's secret or hidden occasions, like something you end up eating out and you think you've thoroughly checked out whatever it is you're eating, and lo and behold, there's something that causes inflammation. And like you, once you've been on the healing path long enough, you know that, oh, this is what this is. This is, you know, I'm not freaking out. I recognize this pattern. I recognize this happening in the inflammation or hive or whatever it is. And you're like, okay, what do I do? And I had a naturopath one time explained to me when I went to her with a fairly good sized flare, and I was kind of freaking out, like, and you know, a lot of personal blame and all of that type of thing going on. And she's like, Sharon, you know, when we first met, you were way down in this valley, and now we're way up this mountain. And just because you slipped down one step, you're not back in that valley.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was such a helpful metaphor for me to remind myself, okay, it's not that far to shift it back to where it was, and then to continue to fine-tune that healing part of you. And part of this then brings me to one of my favorite chapters. Well, it's actually two chapters, but the chapters on routines. Mm-hmm. I never was a routine person. In fact, the inner toddler in me used to stomp my feet, like, you can't make me type of thing. And yet on my healing journey, I realized how really important it is to have those routines. Mm-hmm. Share your morning routine with us.
You know, as I said in the book, I'm not a morning person so much, although I am more now that I live a healing lifestyle than when I was living an inflammatory lifestyle a decade ago. I start my morning with some breathing techniques that just actually I find energizing, and then also set kind of my intentions for the day. So I try to, and I do that before I even get out of bed. So when I wake up, before I get going, I try to just right away have something positive that I'm starting my day with. And then for me, I'm someone who incorporates these techniques throughout my day. So I'm someone who now is very tuned into my body and the nervous system response. And so I'll notice when I'm feeling stressed out and my shoulders are going up and my chest is feeling a little tight, my heart is racing a little faster, and I'll take a break and I might meditate, or I might go outside and just tune into my senses, or I might do EFT or any number of other techniques. And then I do probably a longer bedtime routine, because after I kind of get ready for bed, there's usually an hour before I actually get into bed, and meditation is usually part of that. Gratitude is part of that. And then I have a journal, I guess like you do, kind of a let it out journal. If something is bothering me, writing it down really helps. But I think everyone's really different, especially when they're first getting started. And so, yeah, there's a morning routine chapter and a bedtime routine chapter with some suggestions on how you can do it. And the book has, I'm trying to remember, I think it's 96 mind-body techniques. And like you had said, when you started, it can just be opened anywhere, almost like let chance decide and pick something to do, which is kind of fun. So I know some readers keep it by their bed. And then before bed, they just open it up anywhere and do whatever it says. And some people do that in the morning, which is kind of fun. But you can also just start with 5 minutes, I think, at the start of your day and at the end of your day. It doesn't have to be an hour to be beneficial. I love giving people baby steps to get started. And I know that you do as well. But for you now that you've been on this healing path so long, do you have longer routines yourself?
More varied routines, not particularly longer. I love the power of meditation. I'm on board with meditation. However, I find that it's more helpful for me to do 5 minutes throughout the day than it is to sit there for one solid hour. I get squirmy. My learning style is kinesthetic, and so it's a little hard for me. I get a little squirmy. So I find that, like you said, 5 minutes, maybe sometimes it just blends into 10 minutes, but I find that I have to do a couple of things to be able to get myself there. And I have some music that I absolutely love. And it's almost as if it's the cue for my mind to go, oh, there's the music.
Oh, how nice.
You know, like musical chairs or whatever that comes to mind when I think about that. So I've played the same set of music time and time again. And even if I can't access the music, I think about the music and it's like the brain goes, oh, okay, change your breathing, calm down, settle down, and let the vagus nerve relax through this and situate yourself in such a way that all the conditions are available to you to have a really good, even if some people might say short session. I've found that even 3 or 4 deep breaths, if you can't do anything, maybe in a really stressful situation, and you just start some deep breathing, dropping those shoulders out of your ears. It's amazing to me how fast breathing allows our body to reset. Mm-hmm. It's so simple and it's always there with us and it's free.
I love that. And I think the other thing about mind-body techniques in general, I think so much of it is just awareness. And I think the more you do it, the more aware you become, which is really nice. So even people who don't, like one of the side benefits of meditation for me is I notice my stress response and my thoughts more than I did prior to having that as a practice. So a lot of it now, 10 years later, is just as I'm walking, maybe I'm cooking dinner and I suddenly notice I'm on a negative thought spiral that's stressing me out. And when I notice that, it's an opportunity to intervene. And sometimes, like you said, you don't necessarily need to do a very complicated 30-minute something technique. It might just be pausing, questioning a thought. It might be taking a few deep breaths. It might be thinking of something positive. It might be making a note to yourself, I need to journal about this tonight because this isn't going away and I have some decisions to make. But like you said, I think it starts to integrate into your day and it becomes less intimidating for me to think of it that way because it's not about suddenly having hours of free time like people who are monks and it's literally their vocation to have mind-body practices every day, that people in regular busy lives, just a few minutes here and there, it really can tone down that stress response and therefore tone down the inflammation because of the connection between those two things.
Absolutely. Which brings me to one of my other favorite chapters on befriending your body.
Yeah.
I love the part where you talked about write yourself a love letter.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I mean, I think I've heard that before somewhere and I filed it away and oh yeah, when I find time. But as I was reading your book, I did sit down and finally make the time.
Oh, did you? How beautiful.
Yes. And I think that was, that's the thing. It's like, okay, sometimes we hear this stuff or we know this stuff and then we're like, why am I not doing it? And it's just about, yeah, to me, after all these years, it's like, I'm never going to find the time. I got to stop and make the time, mm-hmm. you know, because somehow if I just keep saying, I'll find time. I don't go looking for it. So I need to stop and make the time and do it. And I put that love letter away and I put a little note to myself that I'm going to pull it out in a year and see, you know, see if what's changed. I think that'll be fascinating to kind of see, okay, where was I then? What is now? I think that'll be fascinating to see what happens.
I love that. That's just a beautiful, I could see it becoming an annual tradition on your birthday or whenever. But how lovely. How lovely. I'm so glad that you did that.
We need to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more with Aileen Laird about all of these wonderful things in her wonderful book called Healing Mindset. It's the subtitle is A Guide to the Mind-Body Connection for People with Autoimmune Disease. And I want to put a little hyphen there or something, and everybody else. Can I do that? Can I just like put a little hyphen there?
Of course.
Because I think a lot of things that you talk about in here would help anyone. So we'll be right back.
The Autoimmune Hour will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by understandingautoimmune.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization. Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And all of the previous episodes and the show notes, everything is over at understandingautoimmune.com. So check out both of those places if you like and to find other shows. We're also on OM Times Radios, Spotify, iHeart, all those great places, iTunes. So be sure and share with your friends and family, because even if they don't have an autoimmune condition, there's plenty of great stuff like we're learning tonight. Aileen Laird, she is a writer, a podcast host, and an autoimmune warrior. She's been living a wonderful life, even with a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis. And she reaches millions of people every year with her popular website and her podcast called Phoenix Helix. And we're talking about her latest book called Healing Mindset, A Guide to the Mind-Body Connection for People with Autoimmune Disease. And I did say at the break there, I wanted to put and everybody else, but I do want to kind of circle back around, Aileen. And I do, there are so many tips and information about autoimmune specific. So tell us a little bit about why this book is so different from other mindset books.
Yeah, well, when I write a book, I'm usually trying to fill a niche that isn't filled, trying to find a resource that would have been helpful for me. And there are so many, it's a huge bookshelf in the cyberspace, let's say, in the mind-body sphere with so many great techniques for which I'm really grateful and I've benefited from a lot. There's not a whole lot written from the autoimmune mind body perspective, certainly some, but not a ton. And so I wanted to really ground the book in that knowledge. And so for people who, I'm a bit of a science geek, I like research. And so there are, I think, 141 footnotes in the book, but it's not a textbook. Like, it's very much written as a practical guide, conversation with a friend. Here's what you can do, and here's how it can be helpful, and here's some troubleshooting. But for people who needed some convincing, which I don't think is your audience, but there are people out there who don't even believe mind-body techniques are helpful, right? And so having some science to be able to show, well, there is a huge amount of research showing how helpful it can be to the general population, but I could see some autoimmune warriors saying, yeah, but what about me? Like, is there any proof that this helps me? And it turns out there's tons of studies on very specific diagnoses and also autoimmune disease in general. So I just wanted that in the book throughout, and every chapter has a research highlight kind of. So one might be about RA, one might be MS, one might be IBD, another might be vitiligo. So really trying to cover as many things as possible, even though I'm someone who believes we all have more in common than not. I know there's something particularly inspiring when you see something has helped someone who you feel their experience really matches your own. So that was one thing I wanted to infuse in the book. And then the other thing is I really wanted to make sure the techniques were tailored to people with autoimmune disease. And one example, we were talking about meditation earlier. So I have been at retreats where they've said, if you're in pain, don't try to move. Just use that as a focus of your meditation. And I get what they're trying to do. It's working, learning to work with pain from a mindfulness perspective can be really powerful. But if you live with chronic pain, I don't think it's helpful to tell people living with chronic pain to get in a position that causes them pain and then try to relax. Like, that's not something I think is beneficial.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. So the meditation chapter was mostly about just freeing yourself from all of the rules and expectations you may have heard about meditation and personalizing your practice in a way that's very comfortable and comforting for you. And that's kind of the energy of the whole book is if there was a, so when like a chapter on visualization, when I did the practices, I was thinking of autoimmune specific. When I get to a chapter on negative thoughts, I'm thinking of autoimmune specific. And that befriending your body chapter, which you're absolutely right, like every human being on the planet could use that. I think a lot of people suffer from a lot of self-judgment and a disassociated relationship with their body, but people with autoimmune disease especially. So I just wanted the book, you know, actually to be a love letter to people with autoimmune disease, if that makes sense.
Well, it reads like one, but you could definitely tell someone who has lived it and experienced it wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's important in my mind. I love when we have survivors to thrivers, mess to success, whatever we want to call it, people on the show, because they get it. They get wherever you're at is where you're at.
Yeah.
And that's not where you're going to stay. You just keep on finding your path on the healing journey. And whether it's a small step, I know at certain times during this journey for myself, the day was opening my eyes and being able to say out loud, I'm grateful for breathing and making it through the night. And that's where you are at that time. That doesn't mean you're going to stay there. And to me, that's the critical thing, is when other people get it. Too often, a lot of autoimmune conditions are, they say, you know, the invisible illnesses, along with other things that aren't autoimmune. But, and it's true. It's really, sometimes people don't understand what you're going through because you look fine. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I think is so important about your writing as well, and your website, as well as your podcast, Phoenix Helix. And the other thing about the book that I liked, I think it's called an index, it's, or in notes, I guess you call them. I loved it because in each chapter you have right here access to the URLs and everything else about some of the research that you talk about. So if you have any naysayers in your life, like, why are you doing that or that or that, pull out the research. Because mm-hmm. I find that sometimes those closest to us, I don't think it's intentional, and I don't think it's out of malice, but can sometimes be the hardest to convince that the latest thing that you're trying to do or doing, it's like, oh, you've tried so many things and nothing worked or whatever like that, can sometimes sabotage us. And I liked a lot of the research here in the book that you could say, look, there's real stuff behind this. I'm just not trying one more thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, again, that negative voice in our own head that might pop up with that exact same objection. It's, if it takes a scientific study to open our minds to possibilities, I think, yay, here's a scientific study. And then in the end, I think like you, it's all about personal experience and trying things and finding your toolbox of techniques that work best for you. And I love how you said, like, you're much better with shorter meditations throughout the day than an hour in the morning. Someone else might be the opposite. They might want to start their day with a longer thing and then just work all day and then end the day with a longer thing. And there's no right or wrong there. It's just what works for you and your unique circumstances.
And keep trying things. I found that things that I tried at the beginning of the diagnosis and I wrote off, and then I'm in a different place in the healing path. And I'm like, oh, I tried that before. And through encouragement of friends or something, it's like, well, let's try it one more time. And then for whatever reason, I was ready for it, whether it was the mindset was ready for it or the body was ready for it or all of the above, I don't know. But then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, that's not what I experienced last time. This is really quite lovely, or something like that. So some of these things I try not to write off.
That's true. I love that.
Too easy to write them off.
And for me, I know what I need might change depending on my experience, either of my health experience or my life experience that I'm going through. So during times when I am struggling more, I am more likely to actually have a longer morning routine because I need more help, let's say. So during the time when I was writing the book and shortly after my mother had died and I was going through a lot and it triggered an autoimmune flare, no surprise, that was quite serious, that one. And I did, trying to remember, in addition to health affirmations first thing in the morning, I listened to a song called I Am Light by India Ari that always felt soothing to me. And I did guided visualizations. And I think I probably did about 45 minutes in the morning before I did anything else. And now that's not something I'm doing when I'm feeling good, but that was so incredibly helpful to me then. And so just knowing when you need more help, and these tools are tools you can give yourself, which is kind of nice. It's not like you got to go out and buy something or even see a doctor or anything like that. It's just what techniques will help me most in this moment.
Absolutely. And you have some beautiful testimonials in the book. Yeah. That I like this part about knowing that you're not alone. I found that the testimonials about the different types of things are like, And I couldn't always exactly relate word for word, but I'm like, oh, it's nice, you know, sometimes it's nice to know you're not alone.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I forgot about that just during our conversation. But yeah, every chapter I ask someone with autoimmune disease or chronic illness to write about their experience with the technique that chapter is about. And similar, and they're all unique individual experiences with a wide variety of diagnoses and a wide variety of people with different backgrounds and lifestyles and all of that stuff. And I wanted more perspectives than just my own in the book. So I did feel like they brought that in. And I'm so grateful for each of them. I think it was 24 people shared their experiences as part of the book. And I felt really honored that they were willing to do that. And it was also fun just asking people, because so many people do benefit from these techniques, which is great.
Yeah, and that's always affirming to know. One of the things that I found interesting in my healing journey is that in one way, it seems so obvious, but it was like, well, no two healing journeys are the same. And yet there are so many similarities in each one of them. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I'm circling back around that I wanted to talk a little bit about is, you do speak a little bit about it in the book, about that's traumas and the part that trauma plays into our healing and understanding past traumas and coming to terms with those. One of the things that I have found quite helpful is now, and I'm throwing myself into the study of it right now, is calming the vagal nerve, understanding the autonomic nervous response system and all of those other things. Let's speak a little bit, because I find that maybe it's just my knowledge of it is growing or something like that. But I'm hoping that trauma is an exploration of trauma and getting more research behind healing trauma might be one of the new frontiers to where we can begin to help more people who are still suffering through autoimmune.
Yeah, I agree. And there's been I think there was an enormous research study that came out just a few years ago, drawing that connection so incredibly clearly and powerfully between trauma and autoimmune. So people who have experienced trauma, whether it's childhood or PTSD in adulthood, are more likely, significantly more likely, to develop an autoimmune disease and also have a more severe manifestation. And I don't say that to discourage anyone, because the beauty of this research shows that healing can tone down some of that inflammatory pattern that the body gets wired into after trauma. So they're not just trying to find this connection and stopping the research and being like, oh, sucks to be you if that's your situation, right? Instead, they're like, how can we help people? What's helpful and what's not? And there's so many different types of trauma therapy now. I have so many people in my community who have had dramatic improvements after various forms of trauma therapy. And they said, like one woman, she said that she had been doing, like, quote unquote, all the right things and tried everything to calm her immune system on her own, and was really not getting a lot of traction the way she was seeing other people see improvements. And then she did, I believe it was EMDR. There's a lot of trauma techniques, but that's the eye movement desensitization reprocessing. And she said after going through, I think it was 8 or 10 sessions, she felt so much better, both physically, emotionally, mentally. And then all of the self-care practices just worked better. So it wasn't that self-care was never helpful to her, but she needed trauma therapy before they could be super helpful. So I think that's really, really interesting. And I'm so interested in resilience research. Yeah. And I think what's also been interesting is at first, I think when that research came out, I wondered if people would feel doubly victimized, right? Like all this stuff happened to me when I was a kid, and now you're telling me this. But they felt the opposite. The people in my community, they were like, that makes sense. Like, this has happened to me. This is what's happening to me now. And they said, so it's not just me. It's not just me. This is millions of people who have had this connection, and together can we figure out a better path forward? And so I agree with you. It's such a powerful place to intervene. And I love that that's research you're diving into as well.
And I don't think I would have gotten there without the podcast, for sure, and exploring. And my first introduction to it was Sarah Payton. And I remember the first podcast we did together, she said one thing to me that was so profound, and said, everybody has this little radar going on in their head, and it's asking two questions, but the first question has to be answered before it answers the second one. And the first question this little radar is saying is, am I safe? Mm-hmm. And then the second question is, once we can say, yes, I'm safe, the radar says, do I matter? Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that is so profound. And it seems so simple, but it really changed the way I looked at healing and asking myself the question, am I safe? Because one of the things in understanding trauma, from my perspective of interviewing numerous people on it, was we carry that with us until we reconfirm to ourselves that we are safe. Mm-hmm. Somehow we get stuck in this place of, it may have happened a long, long time ago, but it's like the unconscious mind doesn't keep time. It doesn't realize, oh, that happened, you know, in your childhood or something, and that isn't true now. And I found that so fascinating, this idea of, we can talk to our unconscious mind and allow it to understand that, yes, that was horrible, yes, and do a yes and, mm-hmm. and we're here now, and this is the tools we have now, and we're safe now, and we matter now. And I just found that so powerful and helpful on my healing journey, is to be able to talk to my unconscious mind in such a way that it's sort of updating the software, mm-hmm. updating the notations on where we are in time and space. And I found that really helpful. And like I said, I had numerous guests talking about trauma and the ability to heal I think oftentimes, I remember when I first got my diagnosis, it was quite scary. I didn't even know the word. It was a great big long word. didn't know how to spell it for a long time. But anyway, I remember getting that diagnosis and a whole bunch of scary stats thrown at me right then, as if you're not in shock already. It was somewhat traumatizing just all of a sudden hearing all these big scary stats, like this is your life from now on, get used to it. And even that part was traumatizing to me. So I found that being able to give yourself space and grace through all of this healing is one of the critical factors that helps us enhance and actually accelerate healing. Mm-hmm.
I love that you brought up the trauma of autoimmune disease itself, because I do think that's absolutely true. I think when you have a life-changing illness, there's trauma to that, period. But a lot of people have what I would call medical trauma from how it was introduced to them and the beliefs that were implanted the minute they heard that word. So one of the techniques in the book is to reframe your medical history, to go back and remember what you were told at different appointments and question some of those things you were told, and not in a denial kind of way. I mean, part of my journey has really come to accept that rheumatoid arthritis is part of my life, but that doesn't mean I can't thrive. And it doesn't mean I'm not resilient. But the vision I had of myself disabled in a wheelchair permanently, that's not necessarily true. I don't know what the future holds. Maybe that's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And hopefully it won't happen. And I don't need to visualize it on the regular. But because that was something I saw, and for me, it was researching my own condition, which can be hard, right? If you go online and it's the worst case scenarios that are often included in a lot of the articles you find or in the groups you find, especially if it's a group that's not feeling really empowered. They might be focusing more on the negative rather than the possibilities. And so, yeah, medical trauma is real. I remember a friend of mine, her multiple sclerosis diagnosis, the guy walked into the room, threw a sample medication in her lap and just said, "You're going to be taking that for the rest of your life. You have MS. And there was no compassion. It was very flippant, like literally flipping something at her and flippant. And so that was shocking. It wasn't something she was going to expect. I had another friend with scleroderma whose doctor told her expect to be dead within 10 years. I mean, I just can't. I mean, I know some doctors are burnt out, but I just can't believe some of the things that some people have to hear in a moment that's so incredibly hard. So I'm not saying I'm lucky I didn't have doctors say that stuff to me, but a lot of people have.
I didn't have anything quite that dramatic, but I did have medical gaslighting going on, especially with the stats.
There's that too, which is the opposite.
Yeah, especially with the stats. It kind of like nobody heals from this. Nobody? Even it's as simple to me, this is maybe minor in the scope of medical gaslighting, but getting reminded like, well, you're in remission, you're not healed. Don't treat me like I'm two. I am well aware of the difference between remission and healed, and it doesn't matter to me. I'm living a good life.
Yeah. When you brought up medical gaslighting, it reminded me of the opposite experience, is the people who took 10 years to get a diagnosis who were disbelieved for so long. That's incredibly traumatic.
That's true. Well, sometimes it's longer than that. As I'm interviewing and getting to know people, they'll say, "Well, you know, I just found out that this is an autoimmune condition, and I had that when I was a teenager, and nobody ever told me. And so I've actually been dealing with autoimmune 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah. So I think the trauma therapies and the self-healing techniques for trauma probably apply to everyone with any type of chronic illness or autoimmune disease, and our experiences may vary. And some of us might also have childhood trauma or adult situations that were also traumatic, but then there's the medical experience as well. But we don't have to get stuck in all of those horrible moments, right? Like you said, I loved how you described those questions. Am I safe? Do I matter?
Am I safe? And do I matter?
And can we tell ourselves yes to both of them?
Exactly. Exactly. And then you begin to look for ways that you are safe, and I begin to look around and, oh, sometimes when I'm feeling really bad, I wake up and things are a little more owie than that morning than normal or something, you know, you kind of ask yourself some questions about that. But I find that if I look around, like, oh, I am safe. You know, I have wonderful people in my life. My family's here and this and that. I am safe. And, oh, I do matter. I do matter to myself. I matter to my family. I matter to my podcast community. I do matter. And I matter, you know, in all these different ways. It's just a lovely way sometimes to shift when you wake up and you're going, oh, oh, oh. Which may be happening to a person without an autoimmune condition too. I don't know. I hear that about us as we age, that we occasionally do that.
Yes. Yes. Good questions for everyone to ask, really.
Right, right. Well, we're just down to the last 4 minutes, and I want everyone to know more about where to get the book and your website and where they can hear your podcast too, because you could tell we share a lot of similar thoughts about it and would love to have them be able to join your community as well. So,
oh, thank you. So
tell us all about
it. Thank you. So my website is phoenixhelix.com. That's phoenixhelix.com. And so you can find my books right there on the homepage, and the podcast and articles I've written over the past 10 years there as well. But as a podcast listener, you can find me in any of your favorite podcast apps. It's the Phoenix Helix Podcast. And then the book is available as a PDF through my website to download immediately for anyone around the world, but it's also available as a paperback and a Kindle copy on Amazon.com in the US, but also Amazon websites around the world. So it's called Healing Mindset, and then you can find it there. And then, speaking of my podcast and the topics we're talking about, so in 2023, this year, I've started every other episode sharing a healing mindset technique to kind of keep this theme going. And so one of the ones I gave Sharon that she's going to link in the show notes is a guided meditation I lead in the recording. And it's specifically for people with autoimmune disease. It's a blend of a body scan meditation with a little pain management technique and a gratitude practice. So I hope you'll listen to that. And I hope it's soothing and beneficial to you.
It is. That's lovely to hear. And I love the title of these little things, Mindset Minisodes. Yes. Like an episode, but it's a minisode.
That's right. They're all like 15 minutes or less. So yeah.
Easy to do, easy to take in, and really gentle and lovely. So yes, go over to Understanding Autoimmune. You'll be able to see that link there on the page that also has this podcast on it. So thank you so much, Eileen. It was so good to see you again. I know the pandemic kind of messed everything up, but I'm glad you made it back on the show.
Thank you. It was lovely to see you again too. And I love that you're still doing this service to the community for so many years now. It's a gift you've given so many people. So thank you so much for all that you do.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
For the next few minutes, we'll be providing a guided meditation. Meditation is a positive way to help reset your day and does require specific, targeted attention and focus. Please do not drive or operate machinery during this time. As we say here, drive when you drive and meditate when you meditate.
Find a comfortable spot. Take a moment to move about, shake out all the nooks and crannies, get comfortable. In the next few moments, go to your favorite spot, continuing to breathe deep and extend the exhale, clearing your mind of any little thoughts that are just wandering through. Take this time to explore your inner truth. Continuing to breathe deep as you explore what is true for me. noticing what you would like to change and allowing that to happen. Continuing to breathe deep through each change, each thought. As your inner truth begins to take shape, continue to let creativity and imagination guide you. That's right. Let it go. Continuing to breathe deep. Anything that no longer works for you, let it go. Keeping only that which is for your highest good. That's right. Take all the time you need in the next few moments now to thank those parts of you that shared their inner truth for you. That's right. Thank each and every part for sharing, knowing that you can come back here at any time to continue this exploration. Anytime, anywhere. Giving gratitude for this moment, this place, and this time. Take some nice, deep, cleansing breaths as you begin to come back to the present moment. Right here, right now. Alert, awake, and ready to begin again. Eyes wide open. Nice, deep breath to welcome you back. That's right. Welcome back.